Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session.
Welcome to the Selling the Couch podcast, where our goal is to help you achieve your counseling private practice dreams. And now, the man who teared up just a little bit when Mufasa died in The Lion King, psychologist and podcaster Melvin Varghese.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to session 8 of the Selling the Couch podcast. I am looking outside my window and the sun is out and spring is here and Melvin is so happy. I am so not a winter person. My guest today is Laura Reagan. Laura is a licensed clinical social worker. Now, to better understand Laura, let's rewind a little bit to sometime around 1999. Laura was working as a paralegal. She loved her work, but as she puts it, I felt like something was missing. So Laura went back to school to get her bachelor's degree in sociology while being a wife, a mom to 2 young kids, and still working full time. While in school, Laura began to volunteer at a local sexual assault crisis center, and it was here that her passion to help those who had experienced trauma was born. Laura decided to open her own private practice, focusing on helping trauma survivors. In today's session of Selling the Couch, Laura shares her private practice journey, how she built the private pay private practice, how she overcame the voices of naysayers who said that it wasn't possible to build a practice outside of insurance in this day and age. We also discuss how Laura created a video for her website, especially because she was so scared to put herself in front of the camera, as well as the scheduling software that Laura uses so clients can book sessions at whatever time or of the day and on their smartphones or on their computers, and how Laura balances being in private practice with her love for blogging. Here's my conversation with Laura Reagan. Laura, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about our conversation. We met online, and so I've just been, looked through your website, and we've been able to connect, and I just feel like you have such a neat story, and I'm excited that you're going to be sharing it today.
Thank you.
Laura, when I have therapists on, I'd like to ask them either a quote or a mantra that's guided them in their professional journey. So if you could think about that, what would be that quote for you? And then also, how would someone that's just starting out in a private practice, how could they use that quote?
Well, my favorite quote is the Gandhi quote, "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." And it applies to myself and how I practice, the work I do with clients, and how I feel that I try to embody the changes that I want to help them make, whatever that may be. But also, I think new practitioners can apply that in when they're creating a private practice, if that's what they're doing, or in the work they do in general with clients. It's important to be open to making changes. If you're asking other people to make changes, you don't want to come to your clients where I'm the expert, I'm fine how I am, but you need to make all these changes. It's best to be open and flexible to making changes yourself. There's many layers to that quote, and that's why I love it so much. But that's a basic explanation, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's a great quote. As you were thinking about starting your own private practice, and we're in that real early stage, how do you think that idea of being flexible to change and that quote, how did it apply to you?
Oh, good question. In a lot of ways, actually, because for one thing, when I thought about starting a practice, I had heard from other people, basically there's one way to do it. You get on panels, insurance panels, and you get on all the panels, put your name out there, and you'll start getting referrals. And then you just take everyone who comes through the door and do the work.
Yeah, you could take everybody. It's now you don't have that option to like limit.
Right. And so, you know, trying to be a generalist. And I have a specialty that I love working with, which is helping people who've experienced trauma, particularly childhood abuse, whether it's children or adults. And so that is the group that I love working with the most. That in, when I do that work, I feel fulfilled. Mm. And if I were just working with every other type of issue that people could present with, it would limit me from helping the people that I know how to help the best. So I had to be flexible in taking in the information that was the advice and recommendations that were given to me by other people, but also thinking for myself and saying, does that resonate with me? And it really didn't. So I didn't start out accepting insurance, and now I'm fully private pay, but I'm focusing on trauma, and there I know I can make the change that I want to see in the world. So it all kind of fits together.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're bringing up such an interesting point, which I feel like every guest that's been on this podcast so far, the initial tendency when they start their private practice is to want to accept everyone, right? And there was some mental thing that you did, it sounds like, and it sounded like a lot of intention to it, by which you said, okay, that's what I feel in that moment, but I know this is where my specialty is, and I know my passion is in helping and healing folks that have struggled with childhood trauma. How did you actually make that mental shift?
It was a slow process. I started my practice almost 2 years ago in May 2013, and I was reading everything I could find. So I used a lot of the Facebook groups that, particularly one that I initially found, where the woman who runs the site was espousing that idea that you should do the work that you are the best at with the people that you love working with, and then you can have a great practice and do your very best work with everyone instead of kind of doing okay, but not feeling that real true sense of fulfillment yourself. So you're not putting out that energy that you do when you feel so great about knowing, I know this, I know how to help this person. The person's coming to me because they're in pain and they think that it's hopeless, and I know that it's going to be okay, and I know that I can help them feel better. And, you know, it's so rewarding to do that way, where it's, you know, if it's an area that's not really your specialty, but you have some experience with it, so it's ethical for you to work with them, but it's not your passion.
Yeah. There's something much deeper, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah. It doesn't connect that way. And so it's not as, I think, you know, it's like going from blah to wow.
It's that moment, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like really curious what, I think I know who this is, but what's the Facebook group that you were involved in?
Well, the first one that I found, and I love her, is Julie Hanks, the Private Practice Toolbox on Facebook. She really gets the word out there about how to market your practice to your ideal clients. And since then, I've joined a lot of other groups and found so many wonderful coaches and other therapists online in those Facebook communities. I never would have ever dreamed that it could be so helpful just to be on groups and Facebook with people that I haven't met in real life.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. Like, even like what I've been really active probably for 9 months, right? It's amazing how many therapy private practice groups there are on Facebook now.
Yeah, and it really can create a real community, because here we are talking, we never would have met, and it was someone from another Facebook group who put us in touch. So, and I love her too. So I'll give her a shout out too. That's Carrie Nola.
Awesome. Yeah, Carrie was just on the podcast. You know, one of the things that I had just had some questions for you with regard to your website, because I think you're doing some really, really neat things. And I can tell like you've been very intentional with your website. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, you know, that video that you have, your introductory video that's right there on your website. It's a little bit different than the, you know, the typical, hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is what I do.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, again, it started with Julie Hank's group. Somebody posted that, probably her, that putting videos on your site can be very helpful. And I was way too shy to put up a video of myself. So I had been in a different discussion group on, I think, the Psychology Today discussion boards. And someone introduced the Powtoons software program that I used. It's a free software, free website to make that video. You know, they were like, what are some great technology tools? I love Powtoons. And I thought, oh, I'll look at it. And it was so easy to make the video. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to put my own self on video. I'm too afraid of that. So I'll just do this and, but still share the information that I want to get out to people that, you know, I know it's scary to find a therapist, but it's so helpful to get therapy. And, you know, I'm just such a big believer that sometimes when problems are too big to manage on your own, therapy is such a rewarding, fun, exciting journey, sometimes challenging and painful, but the outcome at the end is so worth it.
Yeah, I like what you did for a couple of reasons. One, I think it alleviates a lot of fears that potential clients have. And in that video, you do that, right? Like you talk about, you normalize therapy, you talk about what it's like. I really like, by the way, that name Powtoons is awesome. but I like that it's in an animated format, right? Like that's so different than what you would think of just as a video.
Yeah, it was fun. And I didn't spend more than 2 hours making that. It was so easy and it was fun. It was also kind of, you know, inadvertently, it was a creative outlet too.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you learn about yourself, like just in making that video?
Well, I was surprised that I was able to do it so easily and that the message I wanted to get out was pretty clear, even though I didn't. Honestly, when I sat down to do that, I was like, well, what should I say? I don't know. And, you know, when I put it, I was like, well, this is pretty good. And I'm amazed how many compliments I've gotten on it. I mean, if nothing else, it'll give people a laugh because it's just kind of silly, but it's, you know, it has some real information too. So, you know, I feel like it's a resource. It makes me feel good that I could do something relatively easily, you know, mm-hmm. put some information out that could be useful to anyone, even if they're not going to be my client.
Well, and the other thing I feel like you did was you stepped out of your comfort zone around like with video and with, you know, even trying to create something animated like that. It's just, that's neat.
It was. I really didn't know how people would take it. And that's kind of a theme. It goes with the flexibility that we talked about and also just, you know, being willing to take a chance, be vulnerable and say, I don't know if people are going to like this, but I want to do it and I'll give it a try.
Yeah. What's just offhand, what's been the reaction of potential clients? Have they ever mentioned that or the video?
No, I don't think any clients Surprise. Have mentioned it actually, but other therapists talk about it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, but regardless of whether it's a client or a therapist, right? Like if whoever is looks at the video and is curious about it, right? Like you stand
yeah,
out.
Yeah. And it's going to make, it's supposed to be to help SEO too.
Just for those who have no idea what that word means, what is SEO?
Yeah, search engine optimization so that Google can find your website. And that was my motivation.
Okay, so you created that video as sort of another avenue or another door by which people could find
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so it was, the motivation was to increase traffic to the website and provide a resource that people would find useful once they got there.
And not like putting you on the spot with like analytics or something, but have you noticed that seems to be a big source of traffic, like just the video or at least a sizable?
I can't really say for sure. It's on my homepage, and so I mm-hmm. don't. I have seen a couple times in the metrics on my website that people have come from YouTube, but I just got a new website in January, and before I couldn't get as much information about how people found my site, so. You know, but one funny thing, I mean, this is weird, but I was in one of those Facebook groups and somebody put up, I just have a new website, please check it out. And so I looked at their website and they had put my video on their website.
Wow.
So I was like, well, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. What are you going to do? I tried to tell the person, but I ended up just letting it go. I don't know if it's still on there or not, but.
You brought up an interesting point earlier, which is that you not only have the video on the website, but you also connected it to YouTube. And I think that's extremely smart, right? Like, because YouTube is what, the second largest search engine?
Right. And it's owned by Google, right?
Right. So essentially you have the video both on your website and through YouTube. Like if people were to search for therapy help or what is therapy or something like that. One of the other areas that I saw on your website was you have this tab or almost like a button where you can schedule an appointment, right? Like a potential client. How has that benefited both you and how has that benefited your clients?
I can't say for sure about the tab or the button per se, but allowing people to schedule online has been very helpful. For one, I think a lot of people are looking for therapy in the middle of the night or on the weekends at times when I'm not answering my phone, and being able to go online, see what, you know, because put yourself in the client's shoes, you're like, I have a problem. I need to find a therapist. I'm so discouraged. I don't even know how soon I can get in. And they can look and see, oh, she has like 1 o'clock available tomorrow. Maybe I could get in to see her. And so I've had, you know, not a huge number, but I'd say a good percentage, probably about 40% or more of my new clients have initially contacted me through scheduling online, putting in all the information to my software program, and you know, doing all that before I spoke with them, and then I call them and follow up.
That's amazing. I mean, 40%, that's a really high number. What software program do you use?
It is therapyappointment.com.
And I'll link all these on the show notes as
And I think it benefits clients because they can see the availability and make an appointment, kind of have that feeling of, okay, I know I've got an appointment with her. I'll talk to her. Like there's relief in sight.
Right. So does that program, does it send reminders?
Yeah,
and things like
it does.
That?
It does a lot of great things. I love how it helps my practice. And it helps me too, because if they do that, then I don't have to spend the initial time on the phone with them where they're just going down a list of people looking for a therapist. Even though I enjoy doing that, it is time consuming. And so if they find me, they see that they want to schedule with me, they see what I have available and make an appointment, and then we talk, they're already invested by the time we talk.
Yeah, it's in a way, I think they're doing as much of the work.
Yeah, and in a way, they may feel more in control of it too, instead of like helplessly not sure, being at the mercy of the other person telling you what their schedule is.
Yeah, and I could actually see a really good benefit to the population that you're working with. Do you cut off like that appointment schedule? So for example, like someone wouldn't be able to make an appointment within 24 hours.
So, and that's just the thing. If they see that I have an appointment available tomorrow at 1, they won't be able to schedule it. So there's no chance that they could catch me by surprise and I don't realize they're going to be showing up. They can call me and they'll say, I wasn't able to schedule, but I see you have 1 o'clock available tomorrow. Is that still available? And I'll say, yeah. And they, you know, they come in.
Oh, okay. So it's more of a conversation starter.
Yeah. But if it's 2 days later, they can go ahead and schedule it.
Okay. So you do a 48-hour window then. You know, one of the other big areas that I wanted to talk to you was you're quite a blogger. So you have some great articles. And I know I've like retweeted you a couple of times.
Oh, thanks.
And what made you get into blogging and decide to put a blog on your website?
Well, once again, recommendations by wise sources who have gone before me. Julie Hanks said, you know, blogging was important. And also I've done coaching with Miranda and Kelly from ZinniMe, and they encourage blogging. I think through the coaching with them, I've really understood that it's important to blog regularly. And it's kind of come to the point where I've now figured out a way to be able to put out a blog once a week, where, you know, I was trying to do it once a month before and it seemed like such a chore, but I've gotten into a flow where I've it comes easily now, and it's enjoyable, and it's another creative outlet. And plus, I feel like I'm able to share information with people that, again, whether they're my client or not, it'll be helpful. But sometimes I think about a particular thing that's come up with a client who, you know, I think, oh, if they knew about this, that would be so helpful. And it's more than you can say in a therapy session.
Right. So you use a lot of times you use your therapy sessions as sort of motivation or inspiration for your blog posts? So I'm really curious, what routines do you have around like your blogging?
Well, I blog once a week, if not more. And I've begun to realize that one thing you can do is get quotes from other people to put out a post kind of easily. So I'll post in one of those Facebook groups, I'm doing a blog about such and such, would you like to give a quote? And then immediately 15 different people will come back with a great quote. And then that post will be just their quotes. And, you know, how long does it take me to write an introductory paragraph about that? And just, you know, kind of curate what they wrote, put a couple graphics in and you're done. And the ones with the quotes, you link to each person's website. It helps their SEO. They retweet them. They share them all over Facebook. You're sharing them. And so it's like exponential effect in exposure.
To your
blog. Because they're retweeting the blog and reposting and sharing and putting it on Pinterest. And, you know, it's instead of me just doing it, it's like me and 15 other people are doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the power of community, right? Like we were talking about
exactly.
Earlier.
And so that is one thing. And then another thing I've started doing is having, I realized that I wanted to touch on a couple of topics, but I needed to do more than just one post. So I decided to create series for each one. And so I've got one series going on that is holistic and alternative practices that complement typical talk therapy. And then the other one is on self-care practices. And so, I mean, I feel like I could go with both of those once a week for a year easily. So I might end up doing twice a week or more, because I'm so interested in sharing the information and I'm learning too as I do it.
Yeah, that's really neat. So when you're writing these articles, it sounds like you're thinking sort of about your ideal client and the client that you want to work
exactly.
with.
Exactly. And what they are interested in and what they would want to know that about what sets me apart from other therapists.
Right. And indirectly then through these articles, it's establishing a sense of rapport.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's what the coaches always talk about, is that you're letting your clients know who you are. So they get more of a feeling of, is this someone that I would feel comfortable sitting in a room with and talking once a week?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, I forgot where I saw this, but like it takes between 7 and 12 interactions before someone sort of feels comfortable with you. And I feel like a blog post, you know, it's just like one of those interactions.
Exactly.
What has been the most fun article that you've written?
Well, I think the series on the alternative practices has been the most fun, because I've found out about all these things that I didn't know about. I've connected with other people, and it's fun because it's broadened my horizons about what's out there and how it works to help complement talk therapy, how each different thing helps. And also just I'm inspired more and more as I learn more about each of those methods. I'm like, oh, I want to try that. Oh, that's so cool. And, you know, I just love it's exciting to me because it just really connects with the way I understand the mind, body, spirit connection in therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing now what we can do online too, right? Like to be able to learn and pick up all these things.
I know. So cool.
Laura, so we are just about wrapping up, and it is your favorite time, the one you've been looking forward to. It is the hot couch round, and I'm getting better at this phrasing, and we'll try to say it without laughing. So it's not working.
Sorry.
What's a daily habit that you believe contributes to your success?
Daily practice of mindfulness.
And is that something like you do like a daily morning routine or?
Yeah, I try to be mindful throughout the day. And as much as possible, I'm trying to have a morning routine of meditation. I'm not totally there yet, but I'm working hard.
What's an online resource that's been invaluable to your private practice?
Well, I'd have to say my practice management software program. It has a calendar, does the bookkeeping, and all of my clinical notes. I could not get by without the therapyappointment.com.
And then what's your favorite business-related book?
The first business-related book I read was 12 Months to Your Ideal Private Practice by Lynn Grodzki. And that really was a great framework for me to get started.
What's one tip that you would give to someone who's thinking about starting a private practice?
Take your time, do your homework, get all your ducks in a row before you get started. Don't just jump out there and think it's going to all fall into place.
Imagine that you were starting your private practice all over again. You have $500 on your laptop. What's the first step that you would take toward building your practice?
Create a website, get an online profile. So get yourself online and then go in to these Facebook groups and read the blogs where other people share their experiences to help you think about things that you never would have thought of.
And Laura, you are off the hot couch.
Okay.
If folks want to learn more about you and more about your website, what is the best way to reach you?
My website is www.laurareaganlcswc.com.
And I will put that in the show notes as well. Laura, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Melvin. Me too. I appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Laura Reagan. So there were two things that I was really starting to think about and something that I want you to also think about. The first is that you don't necessarily have to be on a video if you want to produce a video, right? So what Laura does, right, creating this sort of animated video, it's something that you can definitely do. And the other piece of that is any different types of content that you have on your website, whether it is a blog article or a video, those are all different ways that people can see your website. And I would definitely take that advice that Laura is saying. When you put a video on there, also have it on a YouTube channel, because that will also help people find you if they happen to be on YouTube. And I forgot what the exact stats were, but it's like crazy the amount of people that are on YouTube every day. So it's just a great way to get the word out about your services. The other thing is really think about the software that Laura was talking about. You know, there's lots of different options, and Laura mentions the one that she uses, but it's a great way to think about and to not have to be fully present all the time to be able to accept clients. And so this is just kind of a way that, one, you're likely to get a higher quality client because they've actually committed to booking a time with you. And so you're also not, you're also able to just free up some more time to focus on other things, whether that's training or blogging or researching, whatever it is, or just taking or hanging out and spending time with your family. I've got all of the resources that Laura mentioned on the show notes page of the Selling the Couch blog, and you can find show notes for this specific episode at sellingthecouch.com/session8. Have a great, great week, everyone, and take great care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.